Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, June 23rd of 2020. And I'm your host this evening, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing this program, whether you're calling in, whether you've called in, or whether you joined it via the stream, the website. Either way, we're so glad that you've tuned in tonight, so that you can receive from the Lord the things that Jesus has in store for you this evening. And if you missed last night, you missed out, because I dealt with some things on what the last days would be like, and the signs of the coming of Jesus. And then towards the beginning, I dealt with the names of God, with Father's Day. Tonight, with it being Tuesday night, I'm going to get back into my dealing with the miracles of Jesus. And I'm going to talk about one that I don't think we've covered yet in the 3 years that we've been doing the shows. Normally on Tuesday night, I like to read about a miracle or miracles that Jesus did, and then talk to you a little bit about what do you do to receive a miracle. Does it just happen? Does my miracle just happen? Or am I required to do some things? And different things of that nature, because the reason we call my show The Miracle Man is because not only am I believing God for miracles, I mean, I'm still believing God for my miracle, but Jesus has done so many miracles in my life over the years. It's been amazing the things that he's done for me. And it's been a while since I shared my testimony, and we're going to take a show and do that real soon here. Won't be tomorrow. Maybe the week after the 4th, I'm thinking. Because I'm going to spend at least July 1st next week talking about why was America birthed? What was it birthed on? And we'll be talking about that. And then we're going to pray over America. I'll be singing a couple of songs about America that night, with the 4th coming up soon. That'll be a good show. But we got some stuff going on in America right now. And I ask you to pray every day for this country, please. And some of the stuff that's going on right now, we can't have it. And So I'll be dealing with that at least on the 1st, maybe on the 30th too. I don't know yet. I have to get the mind of Christ on that one, and then we'll go from there. Because I always pray about what I want to share, and I try to go from there. And that's just the way I run it. Sorry about the silence. I was just thinking about something, looking at something. And so, I do have a little bit of a sports update tonight. I have a development in regards to baseball for a possible season this year. A basketball development and a development regarding the Lions. So, and the one about the Lions will be the one that I might be more apt to go into discussion about. And I can't wait for sports to come back to the point where I can get back to having these discussions about what's going on. My hope is that when football season comes, when the fall comes back around, that we can get back to having football, and I can get back to doing Football Central on Monday and Wednesday nights as I do. Wednesday night, giving my predictions for the weekend, and then Monday night, going over the games and giving my salutes if I happen to be doing Midland High game or at that one or whatever that I was at. If the crowd was real good, I might comment on it, or if the band was real good. So hopefully, we just got to wait and see. But also, believe it or not, today this is kind of funny. I found an ice cream flavor that I don't think I've seen before. Root beer float ice cream. And I really enjoy me some good root beer, and I enjoy me a nice, big, tasty root beer float. They've combined the two. I hope it kind of tastes like root beer to a degree. I know the ice cream probably won't fizz when I open up the container. I will let you guys know tomorrow night how it is, because I might or might not try a bowl after the show, because I went and picked it up out of the freezer section at my local Walmart here in Midland. I was out there just out getting some grub, some food, and we ran across it when we were just out there getting me some food, some grocery stuff, and picked it up. Or in the cart. Officer says, yeah, that really looks good. And so we get it, and I can't wait to. So there's that. Also, want to encourage you to, if you don't have the McDonald's app on your phone, get it on your phone and register for deals, because those can always come in handy. Deals can actually be different in different markets. Example, in certain parts of the state of Ohio, it is common to have a deal on there for a dollar large fry. Oh, I wish that was a thing here in Michigan. Oh, I wish. All the time. Because sometimes I love me one of those large fries at McDonald's. I think they have the biggest large fry that there is out of any of the fast food places. Don't you agree, Megan?
I think so, yep.
Especially if they fill it.
Yeah.
Because I like it when they fill it. A lot of times with me they do.
Yeah.
Because remember I told you that thing about, didn't I tell you that thing, Megan, about when I go to these food places, how a lot of times I have good food favor?
Yeah.
Some people aren't always that lucky, but a lot of times I am.
That's awesome.
Because even you've seen it with me how I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
you have places that I haven't necessarily been to before sometimes, like in other states.
Right.
Like when I've been. I mean, it's been wild. I've had people buy me food in a few different of these big malls. One of them was in Detroit. Another one was in Tennessee. One was in Georgia. Different places other than Detroit. It was mainly in the South. One of them might have been Ohio once. I don't know. But mainly, like I said, mainly Detroit and the South. But like I was saying, download that McDonald's app. See what the deals are in your area. Who knows? Maybe some days in this area they will have the. Usually right now you can get a dollar off large fry, but that's once a week to a certain date. Apparently the one in Ohio, I have to see about Columbus. I might be going there in a week. There it's a daily deal. Which,
like a happy hour?
Not necessarily a happy hour. You got to have the deal on your phone.
Yeah,
you got to have the app on your phone.
Yeah.
You can't just go to your local McDonald's on High Street in Columbus, go through the drive-thru and say, hey, can I have your dollar large fry?
Right.
Be like, you have the phone app? Nope, I don't know what the McDonald's app is. They'll be like, well, no, ma'am, or no, sir, you may not. Because obviously they're not going to go through your phone to see and then pull it up. You got to do that. You got to open it. But I hope they do have it. And I've been looking at some of the good food places they have down there. And I think they have some decent ones. Speaking of Columbus, with what's going on, I cannot believe that there's people that want the name Columbus, Ohio, that is named for Christopher Columbus. They want it changed to Flavortown. If all it was about a food thing, I wouldn't have a problem with it. My problem with it is that it's like they want to take out the history.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a big no. There could be a large fry town. I would still say no. because when you're trying to do that, when you're trying to take down the statues of these people that made America, that helped make America what it is, that's a problem. And like I said, next week we're going to be dealing with it based on the Constitution, not based on politics. You want politics, listeners, you can always go listen to Sean Hannity and people like Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Rush Limbaugh, because those are good ones. Even Mark Levin. All those, Ed Schultz and some of those others who are on the Democratic side, for those of you who are Christians who, and those of you who are for the Constitution, all those people on the left are going to do is they're just going to brainwash you, so don't listen to them. But if you want to listen to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, but you got to be careful who you listen to. What you listen to, you got to be careful. Also, while I'm on that, you should look more at and focus more energy on looking to see what the prophets of the Lord have to say about today, more than what you focus on what the prophets of the land, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, MSDNC, actually, excuse me. Yeah, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, FSN, Fox, depending on who's on there. Sometimes it can be fakes, actually. Depends on who's on there, doesn't it? And then ABC should actually be ABC the fake news. I said about MSNBC. Fox should sometimes be fakes. And then there's FSN. And of course, CNN. Constant negative news, or, Communist News Network. Either one of them works. Because that's what they are. If you focus on what the Word of the Lord has to say, listeners, and the stuff, listeners, that we read and we discussed last night, Jesus predicted things that would happen in these days. We talked about kingdom would rise up against kingdom. Brother would betray brother. Parents would betray their own kids. And the different things that would happen. I also know that in the last days that Jesus will pour out his spirit upon man. And we'll see a great revival. That'll be greater than the former. And so, praise God. We're going to, I'm going to pray and take authority for over America real quick. And we're going to sing a couple songs. And then we're going to get into the Word of the Lord tonight. And we're going to look at Mark 9. Will be our chapter for tonight. And there's two different miracles we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about actually one, but it's a really good one. Jesus heals a boy who has an evil spirit, and then I'm going to tell you a story related to that about something Dr. Barclay dealt with a long time ago when he was out on the mission field and he had it's gonna be good. Sometimes I like to tell people what's gonna generally how everything's gonna be. Other times I like to do some suddenlies, as they say, some suddenlies. That's a different way of saying surprises. Suddenlies. I like suddenlies better in a way, don't you? Suddenlies. Yep. Some suddenlies. And listeners, some of you are about to see some suddenly blessings. Suddenly. Now, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the United States of America that was birthed through you. I take authority, Lord Jesus, over things that's going on with these riots, these people that are trying to take down our history, tear down these monuments, and take down all these statues that are based on the history of this country. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this would be stopped, that this hate spirit of hatred would cease right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for our police in this country, the men in blue, our men and women, those in blue, and for our military, those in green, and that they would just continue to protect us and fight for us to keep us safe. And I give you praise and honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Now we're going to sing a couple songs. And then, as I said, we're going to get into the word of the Lord for this evening. And then, for the first time in a while, we'll have sports at the end. But first of all, water you've turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you rise, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is then, who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are here, moving in this place. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, moving in this midst, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, changing every heart, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, changing every heart, and I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, changing every heart, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. And I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. He never stops. He never stops working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. Even when we can't see it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. He never stops. He never stops working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, how we love you tonight, Master. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're moving in us. You're working on the inside of us. You're changing our hearts. You're changing our minds. You're making us more like you all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're moving in our midst. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You're the light in the darkness. That's who you are, Lord Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you meet every need that is present tonight, that is tuned in from across the world. And I just thank you that every need is met tonight. And I make my confession over this program that increases in listenership coming to this program, that's sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come in to this program. And most importantly of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for the harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen. Open your Bible, if you would, please, to the book of Mark chapter 9. Praise God. Mark 9. That's going to be our text for this evening. And we're going to just spend some time in the Word of God tonight. And like I said, I got a cool story to tell you. Mark 9, we're going to begin with verse 1. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Verse 2. This is where the transfiguration happens. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. They were all alone. They were up there distancing. But they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses. Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had just seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first, and he restores all things. Why then is it written, Son of Man must suffer much, or must suffer many, many things, and must be rejected. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything that they wished, just as it is written about him. Verse 14 now. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all of the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, How long shall I stay with you? And how long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Turn the page. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been this way? From childhood, he answered. The spirit has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked. It convulsed him violently, and it came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out, cast it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not yet want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. Therefore, he didn't want anyone to know where they were. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise. They did not understand what he meant. They were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum when he was in the house, and he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way, they were arguing about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12, and he said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child, had him stand among them. Taking him by the arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me doesn't just welcome me, but the one who sent me. And whoever is not, verse 38. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name. But we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. Verse 42 now. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it out off. It's better you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell. Never die, never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, look it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Where their worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Fire. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. All right. Back it up. So we're backing it up to verse 14. Actually 17. So there's this huge crowd of people there. No, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to my listeners. Sorry about that. So anyhow, listeners, there's this huge amount of people there, and the man is talking. Listeners, this man is talking to Jesus, and he basically tells him, "I brought you my son. He has an evil spirit that makes it so he can't speak." And he's been like this for a very long time. And I need you to have mercy on my family and help us. And Jesus looks at him and he tells him something. The Spirit sees Jesus, and it basically threw that boy into a convulsion, and in front of everybody, and the boy was screaming, foaming his mouth, gnashing his teeth, and this demon, his dad, the man told him that the demon would throw his son at times into the fire to where he would go get in the fire and then he'd go run and jump in the lake and try to destroy himself. He'd try to kill himself. The man says he tries to ask the disciples to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. And then Jesus basically says, "You unbelieving generation, how long do I have to put up with you?" And then Jesus basically says, "Bring me your son, He brings him, the man brings Jesus, his son, and then Jesus prays over him and takes authority over him, and he says, "You deaf and mute spirit, leave him alone and don't enter him ever again." And he took authority over that thing, and that demon left that boy. He healed the boy, gave the boy back to his dad. But when the demon came out of that boy, it shrieked and threw him into the last convulsion. But then Jesus lifted that boy up. He stood up. But of course, as what happens all the time when Jesus did miracles, stood there and gave him that look, and they basically thought for sure the kid's dead. He looks like a corpse. He hadn't eaten much. Probably didn't have enough McDonald's or Burger King or anything else for that matter. Jeez, and whenever I picture these miracles, you know, these other miracles, in this one, he didn't say anything about for them to get him something to eat. But whenever I would read those ones when I was little, or hear those ones when I was little, and they told him to give him something to eat, I always thought it was one of those pizzas. Could have been a pizza from maybe, I don't know, Pizza Hut, 2, 3, 4, or maybe, Papa John's, Little Caesars, I don't know. maybe it was one of the frozen pizzas. I like to think maybe it was a Tombstone or something deep dish, or, you know, it was good kind of pizza. Hopefully not one of the ones that was totally messed with and destroyed by all the peppers and onions and green peppers and bell peppers and loads of mushrooms and all that other stuff, right? I like me a nice meaty and cheesy pizza. Is that how you are, Megan? Not one that's been destroyed by boatloads of onions and peppers and tomatoes. Because that destroyed pizza, you can't eat it, can you? Guess what? Neither. but anyhow, listeners, they thought for sure he was dead. And you see here, listeners, those, you know, Pharisees, Sadducees, people in the crowd. Yes, the Sadducees. It really is sad, you see. Those people, those teachers of the law, some of them, they always just love to just. I feel like some of them, that was their job, was to just sit there and criticize Jesus. Some of them, that was just their job. Maybe they didn't have anything else to do but do that. You see, that child, I mean that young person, he had been possessed by that evil spirit for a long time, since he was a little child. And he didn't say how it got in there. But this thing was wild. In other stories where Jesus heals people of evil spirits, sometimes they're bound by chains because the people who would help would take care of the guy. They didn't want him to escape, but so I have a story to tell you. One day, many years ago, over 30 years ago now, Dr. Barclay was over in Nigeria, where the Igbo tribe, one of those two, and he is in a taxi at, I don't know originally where he was trying to go. Maybe to his hotel. Maybe somewhere else. I don't know. But they're going down the road. And Dr. Barclay says, "Sir, let's get out of the car and let's just go take a look back there in the jungle. And we'll just see what we see." Now, obviously, I don't think he meant, let's just go to this place where we know where nothing is and go take a walk. No. God had instructed him to do that. I think they get out of the car, they get out of the taxi, and the guy is probably like, "You don't want to go over there." They're probably, "Sir, I don't think you want to go over there." They keep walking, and then they see, they come to this little area. There's a little pastor of a little church, and they're in this little shack. There's ladies in a little shack having a woman's meeting. Well, there's this lady outside of that house tied to a chain. She's tied to a chain, and Dr. Buckley asked someone, "Why is this lady chained up?" And then the guy says, "Well, here's why, as an evil spirit." And then he says, "Should I try to let her go, untie her?" And the guy goes, No. You can understand that in every language. He was speaking through an interpreter, because in the Nigerian jungle they speak a different language, and so through the interpreter basically says, you know, what's been going on and how she's been like that for a while. And then the guy in that other language, he's like, no. And those jungle people, you know, they can communicate. Well, so and then Dr. Buckley finds out that this woman would cut herself. At times she would go jump in fire and burn herself in fire, and then she would go and jump in the lake. Like to very deep, like to try to take herself out. and she would scream and holler and all that, and would be on the ground screaming and all that kind of stuff. But you see, just like what I read to you about tonight, so Dr. Barclay curses that spirit, and he says, "You foul spirit, you come out of this lady, and then in Jesus' name, I bind you." He took authority over that thing. And it didn't take but a few minutes. The chains came off, and the guy's all like, "No, no, 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 no." But that woman, she began to praise God. She began to pray to God. She began to dance and clap and shout and worship the Lord. And people at the house, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it, what they had seen. They couldn't believe that Jesus had done that. I mean, Jesus had used Mother Barclay to do that. And at my church, they have a picture of that lady on the back wall. And it's actually kind of a cool story. A bit later, on the way back to the United States from that trip, Dr. Barclay's sitting on a street, on a seat. It's a commercial flight. I'm sure the seatbelt light sign is on. Being from Africa, it was probably a very long flight. He probably was on his second bag of chips. Maybe it was about time for meal time, I don't know. And he's sitting in his seat. The Lord asked him, "What did she do? What did she say? What did she do?" And Dr. Barclay says, "Oh, Heavenly Father, don't you remember that woman? She prayed you, and she got up and she praised you, and she danced and shouted and clapped and began to thank you, Jesus." And then God said, "She didn't speak English." So I didn't know very much English either. But God had used Dr. Barclay to do that. And what if Dr. Barclay had not said anything to that taxi driver? And I just went to that initial location that he had told the cab driver, "I need to go to XYZ place." Maybe the plan was that he was going to go to the hotel. Maybe he was going to go look at some stuff. I don't know. But he was led by God to go minister and to deal with that evil spirit. And God used him. Amen. So the question tonight is, listeners, the question tonight is, what is it that you have need of from Jesus? What do you have need of? Are you fighting something in your body? Or someone in your family got a really bad medical report? You and your husband or one of your kids or something, did one of you maybe get laid off or lose your job? Did you lose a family? What are you believing God to do? How are you believing God to intervene in what's going on in your life? Obviously, if you have a circumstance happen, you have to have in mind what you want God to do. Be it restoration, maybe you want it new. You know? And you got to call out to God. God knows what you need, but he wants to hear you calling it out. If you're fighting something in your body, Jesus wants to hear you confessing your healing. Calling yourself healed. Not saying, today's not a good day. It is not a good day. I bumped into all this stuff because I didn't use my cane. That didn't necessarily happen to me. But it could be. So what are you saying over yourself? I like to say all the time, by his stripes, I am healed. So you got to confess. You got to believe God for what it is that you're believing for. Now about that demon, Jesus told the disciples, this kind of demon can only come out by prayer. Prayer is the only way that thing would come out. There was nothing he could do, the dad could do. He couldn't go down to GNC, the pharmacy, the vitamin shop, Vitamin World, or any of those kind of places to get vitamins or pharmaceutical drugs to get that demon to leave that boy. All the medicines in the world wasn't going to heal that boy. That demon was what healed that thing. Jesus taking authority over that thing is what healed that boy. Now, that man had, obviously he didn't have the amount of faith that he wished he had. You said, well, how do you know? Well, that verse in Mark 9, the man says, Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That means that obviously you have some faith, but your faith level is lacking. Like you still have some doubt. But I know that guy was looking for help because that boy, that demon, was totally in control of that boy. It had complete control of that boy. Complete control. And but Jesus healed that. See. Question is, what do you believe in Jesus to do? You've got to call out by name what you want Jesus to do. And if the devil steals something from you, he has to give back seven times what he stole. Seven times. Someone owes you money. They didn't pay it. What's your question? The devil stole it. That, no, the devil's got to give it back seven times. The devil took my eyesight when I was 3 months old. I just know Jesus is going to heal my eyes. And I'm going to see greater than what I did those first 3 months of my life. Now, I don't remember what it looked like because when I lost it, I was only 3 months old. And at 3 months old, your memory is extremely low. Got to make confession. You got to have faith, and you got to put works in your faith. Faith without works is dead, being alone. But what if you do all the works, but you don't have faith? You're not calling out to God. You've got to have both. Faith and works. Amen. Faith and works. Because you've got to have faith in order to please God. You got to have faith for what you're believing for God to do in your life. You got to have that faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be ye removed from here to there. And it'll be moved for whatever that thing is in your life. Whatever that mountain is in your life, Jesus wants to remove it. What is that thing? I don't know what it is for you. You do. Maybe it's debt. Maybe it's could be a lot of different things. But Jesus, he wants to hear you confess what you're believing for in your life. And you'll see that miracle come to pass. And Jesus makes a way where there seems to be no way. Because he is the way maker. That's why we sang way maker tonight. Because I wanted to make sure I got to that tonight. But that Jesus is the way maker. He makes a way where there seems to be no way at all. Like, you made a way so that man, so that boy could be healed. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was a way. And tomorrow night, listeners, apparently there were a couple people that did, listeners that did not get to hear that Psalm 23 song that was talked about, that I had mentioned to these people. I sang it last night. I love it. And usually, listeners, I try not to necessarily do the same song twice in a week. But I was thinking about it in the last few minutes. I'm doing, going to sing the Psalm 23 tomorrow night. Tonight, though, I have a little bit of sports discussion to get into. But I will be singing the Psalm 23 song tomorrow night. And it's powerful. And you guys are going to love it. It ministered to me the last couple months. And it ministers to me now every time I hear it. And there's another good song, The Blessing. That I'm working on. Can't wait to share that with you. And just going to keep moving in the things of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time in the Word tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we would remember this Word, that we would realize that some things can only be done by through prayer. Today, just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we would put this Word tonight in good use, to good use. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that story that I shared. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that your Word ministers to every one of these people and that every need that these listeners have is met. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Sports. 22 of the 30 NBA teams are going to be working their way over to Orlando to start preparing to start finishing up the season and having playoffs. Very soon. Obviously, they'll be playing on like near Disney property without fans. One player has decided, however, that they will not be there because he's on custody battle with his kids. You know, have you? But obviously, with the bubble. All these teams all have to be in bubbles, and unfortunately they're going to have to be tested every 3 days to make sure that they're not positive for the virus. And then next year, looks like the plan is going to be to start the season in December. And then go from there. Baseball. Looks like there might be a season after all. With 62 games, it's looking like. Again, the teams all have to be in their own individual bubbles. I'll be tested every so many days. I don't know how that's all going to work. I told you, listeners, about the pawpaw and the peach. They have to come out with a way to make sure that there are none of these silly false positives. Because, remember, Megan, I told you about the peach and the pawpaw.
Yeah.
And the goat.
Yeah.
All in that other country. None of them were symptomatic, by the way. Fruit can't be. Because I was going to. There has to be a way to be able to tell.
Right.
A special test that they can do that can actually tell. To what degree. Whether they actually have the illness or if it's just some silly genetic thing. Because if it's just genetic and you can't get anybody sick, Why can't that be classified as negative? Or whatever it is. I mean, viruses have genes. Some people could naturally test positive for strep throat, even if they don't have it, you know? You've heard of that, of people who do that? And some of these were people who test, who every time they get a test, even if they don't, they're not sick, just curious, they test positive. You've heard of that too? You've heard of it where a few times they tested positive, I mean negative, but more often than not it was positive. They'd be positive and they haven't had a sore throat in a while, and they never had it after the test either. Because a lot of us at some point have an asymptomatic virus, I'm sure. One that we could have been symptomatic, but we ended up that is symptomatic because you can feel it. Everybody knows that's not asymptomatic. You're symptomatic. A means you don't have it. But you could have an asymptomatic cold, even for all I know. Meaning you don't know. And you may be asymptomatic and never get the symptoms.
Right.
Kind of like the computer sometimes. You wonder why it's going slow. Baseball looks like they'll be starting up in a few weeks, hopefully. And then football, no talk about the season yet, but the Lions, Martha Ford announced that she is resigning. Her daughter, Sheila Ford, will be taking her place. Ultimately, I'd like to see the Fords not have anything to do with the team. Because the Fords haven't been the greatest at running the team. I don't think they've always had the team's best interest in mind. At times, it seemed like they were going to maybe, but then they would backfire. And this last year was supposed to be the year of playoffs or bust. They didn't make the playoffs last year. Patricia's still there. Look, if we have a season this year, he has to improve. Patricia has to improve. Otherwise, he needs to go. If there is not improvement, they might need to start a complete rebuild of that team. Because things need to get better. They have to. Can't just stay near the bottom. My hope is they can stay healthier this year. Of course, not only not testing positive for the virus, but also not getting all these injuries that have plagued the Lions for so long, time and time again, because health can make a difference. As far as not being, having everybody hurt and having all these subs in. And maybe Sheila can make some decisions a bit differently than what her mother did. But what if she doesn't? We'll have to see how this season goes. All right, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. But these people who constantly test positive, even if they don't have it, how can they just be basically change to carriers?
Thank you. Because I can't, because you're only saying, Tuesday.